and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, July 19, 2021. The king of the Maya kingdom in eastern Equatorial State says international organizations should not leave the area.
The situation is good now. The president was afraid that the military come and shoot them. But they are afraid and ran outside the village.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some young men and women from three counties in Western Bahr al-Ghazal State are gathered in Wau to kickstart a national youth convention aimed at discussing how to empower young people in South Sudan. Benjamin Bang is the Secretary General of the South Sudan Youth Union. Bang says the convention aims at organizing young men and women from the grassroots to realize their potentials. He says the conference will educate young people on the importance of democracy.
It's a conference that will bring from three counties of Western Bahr al-Ghazal State to elect their leader and also make their constitution. As you know, South Sudan National Youth Union was established in 2015 by the convention, the first convention. So throughout 2015 up to now, there has never been any state structures available. So this is the beginning of National Youth Union now to go down to the state to structure the state, to establish this youth union structure from a state. Then the state now will go down to the to the counties, and then counties now to the Fayams and Buma respectively, so that there is a structure of union starting from the least unit.
It's my understanding that there are so many organizations for young men and women in South Sudan. What is so different about the South Sudan Youth Union? Tell me more about it.
This is a non-partisan organization. Is a national youth union, a union of young people, regardless of their political background, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of all this. It embraces all, regardless of their political background, regardless of their ethnic background, regardless of their tribal affiliation and all this. It is a union with intention of empowering youth, trying to create opportunities for young people, trying to advocate for participation of young people, try to build the capacity of young people through trainings. So this is a non-political organization.
It looks like you have a lot on your plate. Would you mind to tell us who is funding your organization?
The fundings actually come among ourselves as people. Fundings also come from organization, be international organization or local organizations. Like our coming here, the animals provided transport for us. Also, the organization for this conference also to take place here, the local organization, the civil society organization, another international organization participated in this conference by providing food items and non-food items for the process to go on. So it is the organization that funds. Other findings also come from people of goodwill.
Benjamin, I have seen a lot of dynamic and energetic young men like you who have been using organizations like the South Sudan Youth Union as a launching pad to secure for themselves lucrative positions in the government. A case in point is your former chairperson, who is now the Minister of Youth and Sports in the government of South Sudan. So what is it that you're talking to me about organizing the youth? It boils down to the leaders, you know, creating an opportunity for themselves as opposed to empowering the youth.
Well, that's depend on what you want to achieve, depends on what you do after you leave the organization. And you know what, being the bigger organization, it is interest of everybody also to come in here. But when you come in here, it is up to the governing document that should be abided for. You know, not need to follow what the regulations is saying. If you come as a partisan person, it is not up to you to move the organization, the youth union, the way you want it. And more especially when it goes into a political direction, then the document that governs it cannot allow it to happen that way. And the people working with you in that organization will not allow you to go that way. So after a person leaves this organization, then, of course, you can become anything. You can become political. You can become anything. Even us also later on leaving this organization, it will be up to us to see what you do. And by the way, as National Youth Union, we also advocate, we also tell young people to be joining the organization, the political organization. The reason being that we need these young people to participate in decision making. You can never go into decision making when you are not organized. Like this, the power sharing agreement now during this piece, it is by the organization, by the parties. Meaning if you are a non-partisan, and you are at a personal level, you are non-partisan, you have less chances of getting into to the government. So we also ask the young people to participate.
During my career as a journalist, I have spoken to a lot of young men and women on issues to do with South Sudan, and all I hear from them is a cry. You know, they have been crying that the government should open up a space for them. My question is, why would you cry for a space?
Well, we are crying for a space because this is a space that where decisions are made. If young people are not involved in such spaces...
I mean, why should you be given an opportunity? I mean, why do you make yourself, why do young men and women make themselves so special that people should think about them? Why can't you struggle to get those opportunities? Why can't you join a political party? Why can't you start your own business and become an influential leader in the country? Why do you cry for an opportunity?
Well, people get to governments through the organizations. It wants to see young people participating in the government. But their participation in the government also involves their participation in political parties. We don't want to take it by force. We want to let the leaders know that us, we have a capacity. We have a capacity, we have the skill, we have an energy.
I have traveled extensively across South Sudan, and in every town or village you go, it's not unusual to see young men, energetic men, sitting under the tree early in the morning, playing different types of games, from playing cards, dominoes, and the rest. And you just wonder, why are these people sitting under the tree early in the morning? People sit under the tree and at the same time complain that they have not been given an opportunity. Even some have gone attacking non-governmental organizations, claiming that these organizations are not creating a favorable environment for employment, or they are employing foreigners.
You know, those who are sitting under trees, they are frustrated. We want to tell people that they are sitting under trees is not actually their making. Sitting under trees is that the ways, the opportunities have been blocked.
But who is blocking the opportunities for young men? I mean, who is blocking the opportunities?
Some leaders who are too ignorant about young people are actually the one blocking opportunities. Well, you may find such place is suitable for a certain opportunity to be created, but there's no person there. Might be a person occupying the position of the leadership or the position of decision-making is somebody who is not capable to see how to create an opportunity for young people to participate there. They think that the South Sudan begins with them and is ending with them, which is not the case. Well, there are young, there are leaders who are trying their best to make sure they have done good thing for this country. But you know, a drop of oil in an ocean is nothing. So there are those few people that we also encourage to see them. They are supported because they are actually selling the idea of young people to participate in decision making.
That's Benjamin Bang, the Secretary General of the South Sudan Youth Union. He was speaking with me earlier today from Wau in Western Bahr el Ghazal State. After a week of public violence that shocked the world, South Africa is beginning to reflect on its causes. Mass looting and destruction of property followed the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma for contempt of court after he refused to testify that an inquiry into corruption allegation to have happened when he led South Africa between 2009 and 2018. The violence left more than 200 people dead and hundreds injured, with damage to the economy estimated at billions of dollars. The unrest was only quelled by deployment of 25,000 soldiers who are still patrolling parts of the province of KwaZulu-Natal. For VOA News, Darren Taylor has more.
The African National Congress, or ANC, government has been widely criticized for its handling of the crisis. Speaking to the nation this weekend, President Cyril Ramaphosa said the riots were orchestrated to cause social instability and severely weaken, even dislodge, his administration.
Using the pretext of a political grievance, those behind these acts have sought to provoke a popular insurrection amongst our people. They have sought to exploit the social and economic conditions under which many South Africans live, and to provoke ordinary citizens and criminal networks to engage in opportunistic acts of wanton looting.
Ramaphosa said the chaos was used as a smokescreen to carry out economic sabotage by burning trucks and blocking key highways and torching warehouses, factories, and shopping malls.
Through social media, through fake news and misinformation, they have sought to inflame racial tensions and violence. Worst of all, these instigators have sought to manipulate the poor and vulnerable for their own benefit. Yet, despite the widespread destruction, this attempted insurrection has failed. It has failed to gain popular support amongst our people.
One of the alleged instigators is Thulani Dlomo, who used to be one of Zuma's top intelligence agents. Police arrested and questioned him on Saturday, but released him without charge. Dlomo told reporters in Durban he never instigated anything, as he was a patriotic, God-fearing South African.
Our people must not allow any influence that will divide our communities. We must unite as the people of this country in ensuring that we leave a legacy for our children and for the next generation. So this is not the time to point fingers.
ANC veteran and former intelligence minister Ronnie Casserles says it's important that the inciters are punished for what they've done. But it's also important to acknowledge that the roots of the violence are in the ruling party's failed economic policies, such as former President Thabo Mbeki's GEAR project, which did not meet its goal of increasing growth.
The GEAR program was not an economic system that was really able to radically deal with what Mandela said was our priority, and that was changing the lives of the poorest of the poor.
Instead, says Casserles, immense wealth remained with a few white capitalists and a new super-rich class of black tycoons. He says while the ANC did provide some houses and basic services to the poor, poverty and inequality spiked, largely because of the ruling party's failure to create jobs. Then, says Casserles, suspected corruption siphoned off billions of dollars that should have been used to fundamentally improve South Africa. The investigation into allegations that Zuma and others in his government were involved has split the ANC, with some voters standing with Zuma, who has denied any involvement in corruption. On Monday, Zuma's corruption trial resumed. He faces charges of fraud and bribery related to the purchase of military jets when he was vice president in 1999. Proceedings will be held via video link, and the defense is expected to focus on its request to have the prosecutor dropped from the case, saying he's leaked information to the news media. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Still on issues of violence, the king of the Maya kingdom in eastern Equatorial State says non-governmental organizations operating in the area should not leave, following warning from a vigilante group known as the Monyomiji. King David Oyalala says some of the young men who threatened NGOs to leave eastern Equatorial State are what he called drunkards. Oyalala says he has convinced the Monyomiji to use dialogue as one of the means to address their grievances. He says calm has also returned in the village of Kiala after a shooting incident by members of the South Sudan People's Defense Force over the weekend.
The situation is good now because they were afraid that the military come and shoot them, but they are afraid and ran outside the village.
Some weeks ago, the vigilante group known locally as Monyomiji have been threatening NGOs to leave eastern Equatorial State. Can you update us on what is happening there?
I went up to the security, to the governor, and I tell them, the governor, that these people are drunkards. They didn't do something wrong. They just drink and went to the security there, and the security put them in prison.
These young men, the vigilante group known as the Monyomiji, have been threatening NGOs to leave Torit or Eastern Equatorial State within 72 hours. Why would you call them drunkards?
At that time, I was not knowing that they went to the government, they want to work. Until now, they didn't go back to the government. So that they drank the beer when the security put them in prison.
How many members of the Monyomiji have been arrested and where are they now?
Yeah, I went to the governor. I say, you release these people. They are drunk. And they don't know how to go to the government and sit down and talk what they want. So they go with the sticks.
Talk to me, King David. The issues that the Monyomiji raised are just, you know, what other people or other young men and women from other parts of South Sudan have been saying. For instance, in Unity State, there was a group there that was asking people who are not from Unity State working with UN agencies to leave. In Maban, youth from the host community burned NGO properties, protesting that they have not been given opportunities to work there. And recently in northern Bahr al-Ghazal, a group of young men also wrote a letter protesting about what they call unfair employment opportunities within the NGO community. What is happening in your area is no different from what is happening around the country.
The Monyomiji are still young children, young boys. They didn't know how to speak with the government. So that is why I say they drunk, because they drunk here. My home is near them.
What is your advice to young men and women in Eastern Equatorial State who think international NGOs are not employing them and they're opting for foreigners? What is your advice to them?
I as a king, you cannot go away from Torit. 72 hours. What will happen? There's nothing happen. The NGOs were afraid. Then they must calm down.
Why would you say the NGOs should not be afraid? Because the situation have calmed down. These youth are still active in Eastern Equatorial State.
Yeah, now they are not afraid anymore.
What are you traditional leaders doing to, you know, make sure these youth or these young men and women are not violent and are not threatening non-governmental organizations who are providing services to the people? I mean,
I bring these young people and young boys, I bring them to my home and I address them here. Don't do this again. When you want to work, come with us, the king and the mayor also. We can go all together and sit down, and what you want, they can hide from you in a good way, not in clashing with the security. And then I tell them, they say they will not do again.
That's David Oyelala, king of the Maya kingdom in eastern Equatorial State. He was speaking with me from Torit earlier today. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a fuel tanker exploded, killing 13 people. Find out where after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
where do you get your health advice from?
Sometimes I get my health advice from my grandmother who is at home. When I'm sick that I can't control myself, she'll help.
I get my health advice from my friend, colleague, who live together. Well, those who know about, those who have been experienced more problems about health, they don't advise me through phone. We talk, we chat, discuss everything.
My dad, because my dad is a doctor.
I'd say I get my health advice from various places. The internet, my parents, because I have, my mother is a nurse.
My health advice, I get it on the internet. If I need something on how to deal with obesity, I get it on the internet. Anything I need pertaining to health advice is on the internet.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. At least 13 people have died in Kenya, while more than 24 are nursing serious burns after a fuel tanker exploded Sunday morning in Siaya, western Kenya. Police say the tanker was avoiding a head-on collision with an oncoming vehicle when it overturned, spilling petrol that attracted residents who rushed to the scene to collect leaking fuel. For VOA News, Maureen Ojiambo reports.
It was a somber mood on Sunday in Siaya County, western part of Kenya. This is after the residents of Game lost lives while they were siphoning fuel from an overturned petrol tanker that exploded few minutes later. According to the police, the death toll could rise as investigations reveal that there are more missing persons as some parts of the body found in the twisted wreckage of the fuel tanker. The area sub-county commissioner Charles Chacha confirmed the incident.
In that situation, the tanker overturned and the residents ran to go siphon the fuel. As they were doing that, the tanker exploded.
According to one of the residents, Beatrice Odhiambo, the early morning accident woke her up, and when she ran to the scene, the area was up in flames, consuming the crowd that had gathered to get the fuel.
At night, while I was sleeping, I had an explosion. I woke up and ran to the scene. On arrival, I met people who had caught fire running. The fire was too much. We could not help those who were burning.
Eyewitness Caroline Odit said that those who came for the first round immediately after the accident fetched the fuel and went back home safely. On coming back for the second round is when the tank exploded, burning many beyond recognition.
Those who came in immediately after the accident fetched the fuel. But when going back for the second round, the tanker burst into flames and killed people. At this place, there was a group of people who burned, among them a woman, a baby, and some men.
The police report indicates that there are some people who are still unaccounted for. Diana Odongo lost two of her family members.
That vehicle burst into flames. People burned. We started looking for our people and went to different hospitals around, including Siaya Referral Hospital. We checked in all the wards and we could not find our people. That is when we realized they had perished.
The fire brigade arrived on the scene a few hours later as the area member of parliament, Elisha Odhiambo, faults the emergency response team in the region.
I realize that we, as a country, we have a problem. The response time for emergency is very minimal. It's very wanting.
I want to talk to the CS Transport. Wanamacharia, it is important that you take a keen look at Kenha. You cannot make a road without signage. The reason why this accident and tragedy has happened is because this particular area doesn't have any signage for the drivers to know that they're going through a bad patch.
Deadly accidents involving fuel trucks operating on the busy Nairobi-Busia-Uganda road are not new to residents, as hundreds of people have been killed before in the last few years while siphoning fuel from trucks in accident scenes. Reporting for viewers, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Milwaukee, USA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Let's know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We'll air your comments every Friday. We now leave you with the song Beled Jadid by Ras Corby. Listening to Ras Corby with the song Beled Jadid. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your phones, homes, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. He's a winging, hey, a lucky, a human jagalo. I'm gonna be mom's a coffin, a human jagalo. I'm gonna be mom's telling me, a human jagalo. I'm gonna be mind to
hakuna.